Thank you, Kathy Jo, and our worship team for that time of just reflecting. Before I get started, there's just so much. Like, I don't know, I'm guessing by the fact that you are here this morning, I just need this. I need the connectivity. I think that there's something that is united in the body that allows me to know that I'm not taking this on alone, that I know that God is with me, and in the midst of when anything may come my way, I can look at someone in the face, and I can see the people of Fairview this morning, seeing people like Mr. Keith, who's harassing me to make sure I get my pastry so I have my fill. But, you know, that take care of those little things as far as a ministry, and it doesn't stop, and we just continue to press forward. And man, if you were listening to the words of those songs, so much imagery there as you think of the rock and some of those things, and that's going to come up. And I'm going to be fully transparent, and I know that we talked about this message being available to those online and stuff. This might be, I apologize to them a little bit, it might be a little bit different than it had been in the past. I had another sermon that I felt that I was going to do on grace, and the time had changed, right? The temperature had changed, and I think we're a type of people that could also do that. So today, I came in yesterday and scrapped that message and had a whole other thing that I just felt like we could discuss. And I wanted to stand on, I want to be able to pivot with the time. And we're in a ever-changing time that I want us to be able to meet people at their point of need. And so bear with me as we go through some of these things. And but I wanted to just say thank you for being here. Because whether you needed it as much as I did, thank you for coming and being a part of that. And we find ourselves in this very real and uncertain time. It is what it is. But I would say, as you've heard from us, and hopefully like Courtney was alluding to with some of our communication, we're doing everything that we can based off the standards from the public health and the CDC and those things. And as long as we can continue to meet and they allow that, we're going to continue to do that. And so as long as we have that opportunity for all those reasons, we're going to press forward as long as it's a healthy, as long as it's an opportunity. And I think that there is some health in that that we definitely need. The World Health Organization, I was reading that. I think they did have a slide up. Kelsey had it up earlier. But it had some of these, do the five, stop, help stop coronavirus. And it was like, number one, hands, elbows, face, feet, feel. And as I was reading through those, wash your hands often. Cough into your elbow, as Lee was talking about. So bumping elbows kind of becomes an interesting thing. Don't touch your face. Try to stay 6 feet apart. All these different things that they're saying to be good stewards and to be wise. I kind of read that, and I've been inundated with my kids being around now with the new mandated 6 weeks. So at the end of this, my kids have now been in school 2 weeks out of 11. So,
this is the best move ever.
Yeah, the best move ever. My kids love it. yeah, they're like, this is awesome. In Washington, they go to school like, never. This is great. So thank you to Mr. Kevin, who has set them up with laptops. We have other workbooks and stuff that we have that we're trying to now pivot and homeschool and lean into the time to remind, especially my oldest, that this isn't just an uptick in video games or other ways to waste your time. No, there's still work to be done. But I was looking at this and I was thinking about them. And when I see hands, elbows, face, I start singing in my head like, head, shoulders, knees, and toes. And so I was thinking of all these things. And so a little insight to my craziness of my mind. But it helped me remember some of these practical things. I want to say thank you to a group of people that it is their ministry. And part of that, you know it, is Mr. Bill Cockerts, who's in the back there. Thank you, Mr. Bill, for you and also by name, Edwin and Alex and your team. Yeah, that's appropriate. So they are on the front lines of diligently every night. They're coming in to clean our classrooms and all those different things, as well as make this a safe place for the families that we have here today, but also the families that we serve through the childcare. And part of that stewardship falls squarely on you. So thank you for that. Side note to that, if you get Shirley's updates, he also was able to help install the dishwasher in the back so we can help sanitize some extra toys and things quicker in a timely manner. So we're grateful for that. But that is an area of ministry that helps us all be safe and keep us going. So thank you for that. I now use terms that previously weren't in my vocabulary, like COVID-19 or coronavirus, and which before they stopped school, my daughter said, "Do you know what corona means and stuff?" And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "Well, it's like a crown in another language, and that's why they have it, and that's okay, and that's what the virus looks like." Well, thank you. Maybe we should have more than 2 weeks of school. I don't know. But I'm using those things. Things like social distancing, to name a few, are some of the new terms that are a part of our vocabulary. This week, as Courtney pointed out, we met. I feel like I was inundated this week. I was trying to put a number on it. I think I arrived at somewhere about 35 hours was spent dealing with the fallout or precautionary part of the virus this week. And so the Easter egg hunt for the Maple Leaf neighborhood was canceled. But I'm so grateful that, like Courtney said, we didn't just stop there. We said, okay, if we have to hit pause, how do we lean in at this time? How do we continue to show that part of Christ? And so we asked, and the next event that they have is the Maple Leaf Social in the summer. And so we're going to be a part of that. We're just going to keep pressing in to continue to be the light that we want to be. I don't know what will happen. I mean, I got uncertainty about some of the Easter services. And so that's where it's paramount that we have the form of communication, that we can be able to contact you, let you know as this ever-evolving landscape changes. I learned that I still don't completely understand the virus. And part of that is there's no toilet paper anywhere. I saw, yeah, I saw Daniel at Safeway this week, and he's here today, and there was nothing to be found of toilet paper. And I don't know if people are trying to cover it from both ends, literally. Haha, thank you for the sympathy laugh. I'm sure that's really going to go over well again for those that tune in. But we don't know that. And I was thinking again of like a childhood joke where we have a lot of great Johns around our congregation. Yeah. And maybe that's why we have the need for all that toilet paper with all those great Johns. So, yeah. It's a new low. You're like, man. Yeah. Now that I got the dad jokes out of the way, we can continue. When talking with a local pastor this week, because I got a chance to meet with him and Courtney, and they were trying to help partner with the Easter egg hunt, one thing that as I was reflecting back, sitting here yesterday, I was just texting and catching up because I'm just inundated with following up with calls and texts and different things. And you guys probably are feeling that same part with family that is maybe in other parts of the country, and we are known as kind of the hub where it started, that they're reaching out to you. And I was looking at a text that I sent back to a local pastor, and he said, I told him, I said, I'm not sure what the next day or even the next hour will hold, but I know the one who holds it, and we will walk in faith through him, was the response that I gave to him. And I felt like, well, that wasn't too bad of a response, but that is the truth, right? That is who we are leaning on in this time, and that's why some of the imagery of that rock and those things, because there's so much uncertainty with what we have. We need to be able to know. We have to have that. I don't know, quite honestly, how people make it through the difficult times that life throws at them without a faith. I know that I couldn't, at least from that standpoint. I received another text from my friend Jake in Boise late last night as I was doing this, and it came through, probably like 9 o'clock. And it served as a great reminder. And here's Jake's words. He said, and he's a prayer warrior. He says, "May the Lord be at the center in peace and calmness when the world seems to be anxious in fear. May the rock be the foundation so that when the winds blow and the waters rise, it does not move or destroy. May the Lord bless those that are a part of the fellowship, you and your family, and loved ones with certainty of the cross, redemption, protection, healing, and guidance. The Lord is good. And I was like, responded, thank you. And perhaps some of you picked up the verse that was there. As he was saying that, I was going through the catalog of my mind, and that evoked kind of the first verse I wanted to look at that kind of gives us some of that today. And it's found in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And it says this, to build your house on the rock, right? Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. When the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Counter to that, verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Just as a reminder that that is what we are doing. We are building a foundation. This isn't a Band-Aid type of thing. We're not trying to just be here to check off a box or do these different things. We want to build these things so that they are long-lasting, that we have eternity in mind. Again, with the kid part of this, as I've been inundated with my kids being back around, made me think of a secular fable. I kind of traced it back, at least at one point, clear back to 1886, and some say even earlier, 1840, but they can't accredit it. But 1886 by James Hollowell Phillips, there's a story that we're all probably pretty familiar with. It's called The Three Little Pigs. And I think in some way he also read that verse and he applied that to the wisdom with a twist. See, the primary moral lesson learned from The Three Little Pigs is that hard work and dedication pay off. When the first two pigs quickly built homes and had more free time to play, the third pig labored in construction of his house with bricks. You remember those first two are built with straw and stick, and the big bad wolf comes in this time and he huffs and he puffs and he blows their house down. But it was the one that had the brick, the rock, so to speak, that had that foundation, that took the time, that was deeply rooted in their faith, at times such as these, that was able to stand and withstand that. See, I think our faith and our relationships with our church family should be built on a solid foundation. And that foundation is what we just read about. That is the rock. If social distancing is now recommended, that is one thing. But hear me, I resist to allow that to become social isolation. There's a difference between social distancing, which I think falls into stewardship and we are trying to observe as a church family, but I refuse to allow it to be social isolation. Because my understanding of that in my walk is that is when Satan is most effective. Is when he can separate, when he doesn't allow two or more to be gathered in his name, that is when he can wreak the most havoc. See, we can be having bad days, we can be having those things, but we can look at one another and say, Christ is there for you. And we can gain wisdom and perspective through them. That's why this church, that's why we are the church. And so we can proclaim the truth of the gospel and not allow fear or Satan to divide and conquer us. We will stand in Christ's love. So, getting back to my terrible joke of John's, this came into a part where I was having a John, so I don't know if anyone can tell me why there's so many people around here named John. I mean, in our church family alone, I listed a few. I saw John Reed, I saw John Worthen, I saw John Albert, I saw John McKay, and I'm sure there are probably more than that that we even have here, but this week, and maybe this is the case for you as well, a chance to lean in, like, because there's a time and place where Satan will try to have that isolation take place, and he'll try to allow us to not, or we can be rendered, as we were talking about with the worship team before, there's a difference between a healthy fear, like of who God is, and a negative fear, which is debilitating and doesn't allow us to do what God has required or allow us to be the hands and feet of Christ. And this week, I got a chance to, we're staying down by Green Lake. We've been blessed with a great place to kind of see how this whole world works down here in Seattle. And Trey and I were home, coming home on like a Tuesday night, and we saw a guy right as we were pulling in grab his heart and hit a knee. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm on the phone in the car. I pull over, quickly go to ask if he's okay. As I get there, he just lets out the worst yell and grabs his chest and screams even louder. To which I'm now out of the car. Trey is in the car. I was on the phone with my mom, and so he's now crying because he has no idea what is happening and what's going on and why is daddy running to this instead of away from it. But it gave me a chance to lean in, especially in a time where it's easy to dismiss or to take social norms and conform and say, well, you know what? We're in the middle of a virus. This guy, I think he's okay. Just let him be. I mean, he's still screaming, so he's got to be all right. Isn't that the case? He's got a good set of lungs on him. Kathy Joe, we might want to recruit him if we can get him into the church. But it was an opportunity to lean in. And so I was able to get him to sit up, get him on the curb, and I said, hey, I'm just staying in this house right here. Let me go get you a water. I'm going to come back. I'm going to check on you. And not because of who I am, but because who I serve, it didn't just stop with, are you okay? And he got on the phone and started to call his, as he said, I need to call my partner because I need them to come get me. No, the problem is they never drive and they don't know where I'm at. So he's trying to stay on the phone to keep them calm, and I'm waiting with him. And again, I didn't put this in a verse, but as I was doing this and as I reflect upon it, I think it's our calling. I think of the story of the Good Samaritan, that we can either choose, as some of the religious people of that time, to say, oh, I see that, and cross on the other side of the road to avoid it, or we can help. And the great part that I love about that story is he doesn't just help there. He also goes into that next type level stuff that says, hey, if this guy incurs any more debt on my way back through, I will pay for that as well. And I thought that that was such a great imagery or an opportunity. So as I sit him up and I get a chance to go get him a bottle of water for my car or for my house and sit there and wait for his car to come, his girlfriend then shows up and she says, thank you so much. And she's in a frantic mode. You can tell she doesn't normally drive. And he says, thank you again. We go about our business. We come back the next day to our house, and we have a note on our front door, as well as some home-baked scones. And the man's name is John, oddly enough. Yeah. Can't make this stuff up. And I said, just can't get rid of him. I'm grateful for him. But he was there, and he wrote this lengthy letter about how he had just moved here within the past year from Louisiana himself, and goes on in great detail to say, I'm sorry that they're not gluten-free and stuff like that. And I said, that's okay. And so I got an opportunity to lean in at this time. And just something simple of being there for someone and loving on him. He goes on to explain that he has a run club that he helps do at Green Lake. And he said, hey, I'd love to have you come Thursday if you could. And so we now have swapped numbers and got an opportunity. And I don't know what that will lead to, besides the fact that there's this. If we, during a time like this, can be a group of people that people say Christians are hypocrites, they're liars, they're this, they're that. And yes, we are broken. Apart from what Christ did on that cross that we were singing about, we are nothing. We are sinners. We are broken, in need of a Savior. But that someone like that John can say, hey, When I was down on my luck, literally as he described in his note, when my defibrillator went off twice and I wasn't quite sure what was happening, that Christian person was there at my time of need. And if that's what we're known for, by our love for one another, then I'm okay with that. In fact, I love that. We have another vehicle to reach our community through our child center. Through the ministry, we get a chance to love on more than 50 families and their children daily. And so we have one of our teachers, Miss Christina, here, as well as her husband, Freddie. And you know, a lot of people that play a role in that to make this a ministry and an outreach to those parents. Being affected as a parent that's like, oh, my kids are without for the next 6 weeks. We've heard countless thank yous from parents that say, thank you for being a rock or a constant in this ever-evolving time that you are there. And so being able to help them, school being closed for these next 6 weeks and things like that are tough. But we are going to remain open and meet these families at their point of need. And again, just like that Good Samaritan story, we've also taken precautions to find out. I asked our staff, hey, if we have families that also have older siblings that are school age, if they didn't have somewhere to go, could we bring some of them in to be able to help in an emergency circumstance? Again, going that next step or finding a way to meet people at their point of need. I want to make sure that we are able to do that. I had Miss Sheila compile a list of ministries that we had, and this was before this time that I knew that we were going to be in, but it was for my own sake, but I also thought that they would be wins as a church body. I know that we are sparsely populated right now, maybe for a lot of different reasons, but one being the sickness. Some of the areas that we meet, and I want you to be aware of them, so I want to share them, because in this time, the one thing that I know, especially as a coach and some of those things, celebrating wins is always a positive. And in that, one of them here today, you know, Mr. Kevin Tucker, does the Vex Robotics that we got a chance to share about. And just like the rest of us, he is ever adapting, and his worlds that they qualified for his boys has been changed. But he gets an opportunity to love on some kids that were here and do some really cool things. He's also been working with the next wave of potential people in my kids. Ready or not, here they come. He has had the opportunity to start to raise up the next generation and to be a part in meeting them at their point of need. The Boy Scouts often utilize our facility. And I love, again, as we talked about with Carl and some of the elders and those things, I was just reminded, and I put a couple of them down here, the Scout Oath. On my honor, I will do the best to do my duty to God, my country, and obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. I thought, that's a pretty good oath. I feel like that could apply to what we're doing here and stuff as well. Another ministry that we have here is to meet families through the Down Syndrome community. And so we're able, they meet once a week or once a month to work on literacy and numeracy programs for the children with Down Syndrome. And so again, we might look around our church on a Sunday and we don't see a ton of boys. We might not see a ton of robotics people. We might not see those with special needs. But we, as a church of Fairview, have a hand in trying to address them and trying to help them in building a facility. And again, all those things are made possible by tethering into taking a body like Mr. Bill, who helps make sure that the areas are clean and ready for them. We also have a community of basketball groups, the Team Machine and the Hoopaholics. And they are reaching youth from ages grades 4 through 12. And we might not see a lot of those ages around here. But again, we're investing in other areas that are meeting these families and these people at their point of need. So Fairview, we are a part of these things. We also had a group on campus the other day that was able to utilize, a couple weeks ago now, the gym that focused solely on college-age ministry, and they were able to utilize that. And so we might not see a lot of college-age kids around here, but again, you are part of extending that to them. So I would say during this time, as we remember to pray and do those things, continue to pray not only for our church, but for those that we serve. Because those are wins and these are opportunities where we can continue to lean in. When looking at what Jesus was teaching, I know this verse is intended for revenge, but to speak in the context of it, but just like talking about the Good Samaritan, I think it could also be applied. And that's found in Matthew 5:41, says this: "If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 with them." And we're talking about going back in context of Roman law. Technically, it was 1,000 paces, which is a little bit shorter than our modern mile, but you get the illustration. And God saying, go this. You can remember that in that same chapters there, he's talking about, Jesus talking about turning the other cheek and going that extra part that they will know. See, I think the extra mile could be applied here through our love and hospitality to others during this time. It doesn't always have to be a mandated thing. It could be a thing that we want to do. I understand that this is not natural. It is supernatural. Only God can give us the strength to love as he does. So being in step with him and understanding it, that is a way that we can show how we stand in his love during this time. Another great John the Apostle, this time, says this of the account that Jesus said in John 13:34-35. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Says, "A new command I give you." This is not Pastor TJ. This is not my agenda. This is what Jesus said. And again, as we've navigated through this, please try to understand what is safe for you as you try to do this, but also remember what we are called to do. I want to be known as a group that does that. There are a lot of different things that go on, and at this time, I would also like possibly to do something a little different. I don't know, and I left about another 5 minutes in here. And I know we had a song, and I kind of went a little longer than I anticipated on some, but let me frame it up by saying this. The structure is this. Maybe at this point, there's a person or two that has a verse or a story that God has placed in their heart. And let me lay some groundwork for the structure by saying this, that this is a time to stand in his love. I think part of uniting a day is to have faith over fear. This is not a time, if you have one, for agendas or political views. I know it's a day of prayer and those things have been mandated. But I want to be clear that to focus that Jesus is the subject, as we've learned. Not an agenda, not an anthem, but if I was going to leave a little space today in a weird spot, and I know this will play out weird for people that are listening, but is there anyone that had a verse that came to him this week that we could share as comfort as we walk this? Because my goal would be as we emerge out of here as a group of people that could leave these burdens at the foot of the cross, and we can leave here different than when we came in this morning. That we can be energized, that we can be refocused, that we can continue to know that God is in control, regardless of what happens. We don't know the day-to-day, we don't know the hour, but we know where eternity lies if we trust in him. We don't know all the details, quite frankly. We don't need to know the details, but we need to know where he lies. So I didn't know if there was anyone at this point that just had a verse that maybe God had spoke to him this week, if you wanted to share. And at this time, yeah, Miss Kathy Jo, if you want, I will actually. Yeah, come on. You can share. As well as we can have the worship team come back up, because after this time, I'm going to, we're going to roll back into another song.
So maybe you can help me with the actual scripture. It's be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed.
Mm.
And I think the thing I've been really, really trying to share with people I know, people I'm discipling, people that I fellowship with, is this root of fear that the world is trying to instill in us 24/7 a day. You have to fight that. This is a chance to test and see if what is in your heart and in your mind truly is good, to not succumb to fear. Because what it does, when you go to sleep at night, the chemicals in your brain are different when your anxiety and your thought life is focused on fear. It'll give you dreams. It'll have you wake up in a bad attitude. The reason we're supposed to fight fear is not pridefully go, I'm not scared, you know, I'm better, I'm fine, I got God. It's not a prideful position to have. If your mind has truly been transformed, then you should be able to overcome the fear. Walk in faith. Whatever happens will happen. But the battle of fear, I think, is the greatest battle happening right now for every individual, because we face that differently. I can't help somebody not fear. I can pray and say all the right words I want to as a pastor. I can't take their silent thought life and control that. I can't micromanage that for you. But I hope that by meeting today, we can plant the seeds in this church that we can go home and individually deal with our fear, so we can honestly tell the next person, I understand it's hard, but you have to fight the temptation to let fear become the chemistry of your brain. When you're watching the news, even when they say something scary, say, that's okay, that was kind of scary, but grab that word, grab something, call somebody if you find you're caught up in it, phone a friend. Don't sit in that fear and then pretend you're okay with a smile on your face every day, because it does cause you harm, just like isolation causes you harm. This is what the devil wants. Whether he created the virus, whatever, that doesn't matter. We don't have to fight about that. Whether we like what our government is doing or we don't like what we're doing, we don't have to fight about that. Fight the fear in your own life and help somebody else do the same. Then they can walk through whatever they have to face. This gets worse, some of you get worse. If it gets better, it gets better. But we know we had victory here. And that's what the devil wants. He wants our brain, and he wants our heart, and he wants our thought life. Don't let him have it. And that's what I want to leave you guys with today. That's why I chose the songs I chose.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And we'll have your worship team come up, and we're going to get a chance. I'm going to pray as they come up. It gives us a chance to reflect again. But as they're coming up, let me just say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity in a time of great need to be the hands and feet of Christ, to reach those that need to know you. Father, maybe that's just a simple gesture. Maybe it doesn't include chapter and verse like we had this morning, but just showing your love with others. Help us prepare our minds, as Kathy Jo just said, prepare our hearts. Allow us to be ready for what may come our way. And Father, we lift up this city that we not only live in, but we love. And Father, we ask that you would be here. Father, if this is an opportunity, as I read the email today of the reasons why or the possibilities that Ms. Shirley sent out, God, that this would drive us to our knees, at least to continue to seek you, to know you. And God, as we continue on, I pray that you would just continue to allow us to let go of whatever that fear may be, to leave here changed, to leave here encouraged. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, just as they're about to sing, listen to the words this morning. Acknowledge that through Jesus, his grace, we are made new. Let that just kind of saturate in, and as we get a chance to sing these verses or the chorus, just think about that. Forever the hope in my heart. That is what our community, that is what our country may be lacking right now that we can offer them, besides love, is another word called hope. And that hope that we know where that is found, and that is found in Christ. And thank you again for being here. Thank you from a pastor's heart that you all have accepted us unexpectedly into a crazy time, but you have met my family at this point of need. Seeing your faces, seeing your commitment allows me to be fueled to continue to press forward in these times because of your deep faith and your respect. Thank you for that. For those of you that are here, and even those of you that maybe didn't get a chance to come, and maybe you listen to this at a later time, thank you for being a part of our family. Thank you for pressing in. And one more thing, I just wanted to see that one more time up there, that just as a reminder, as we look at Joshua 1:9 this week, is maybe an opportunity in the acrostic here of what COVID-19 says. The C stands for Christ. The O is over. V, viruses, and I, infections, and D, diseases. Joshua 1:9 for the 19. And it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May that verse travel with you this week as you go into the highways and byways of where you have to go. But remember that we have the promises of that rock that we are tethering ourselves to. Continue to press and continue to pray for each other. Pray for the ministries. We don't know if they will be meeting this week or those that we serve, but be praying for them because they're adjusting through this time as well. Let's close in prayer and we'll dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much. I know my heart needed this. And God, just to hit pause, to sing of your praises, to worship you not only in spirit but in truth. And God, I pray that as we leave here this week, God, with the uncertainty that we don't know what meetings and things and cancellations or work or school or any of those things, that you are constant, that you are a rock that we can tether ourselves to, that when wind or storms or diseases come our way, that we will not be shaken because we stand on you and your truth. God, bless your people this week as we leave. Father, I pray for safety and protection over each and every person. God, that you will be with them. God, thank you so much for this church family that you've called us to be a part of. We turn everything over to you because you are God. Thank you for loving on us. Be with us now as we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for being here this morning.